I have some things in my heart to talk to you about faith, and we're going to go back to some of the basics of faith. And so let's look here in Romans chapter number 10, verse number 8, and we're going to read through verse number 10, Romans 10, 8 through 10, then we're going to skip down to some other verses. It says, "But what saith it?" In other words, if you go back to the previous verses, the righteousness which is of faith, what does it say? It says, "The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach." Now, I want you to hear that. The word of faith, Paul said, is what we preach. Then verse 9, "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus," or Jesus is Lord, "and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." Then notice verse number 10 once again, "For with the heart man believeth." So in all these verses, verse 8, verse 9, verse 10, he talks about the heart and the mouth, both all three verses, both the heart and the mouth. And he says it again in verse 10, "With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Now, I want you to notice again, I pointed out every one of those three verses, verse 8, 9, and 10, Romans 10, it says, it mentions the heart and the mouth, and then it mentions in verse number 9 and 10, believing with the heart and confessing or speaking with the mouth. And then let's jump down to verse number 13. "For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Then how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And then he said, how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" And then, of course, verse 15, "How shall they preach except they be sent," and so forth. But jump down to verse number 17. "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So I want you to notice those verses. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, in these verses, these are some of the great verses of teaching people how to be saved, how to receive what God's provided for them in redemption. And we tell them to believe on Jesus, believe God raised him from the dead, and to confess him with their mouth that Jesus is Lord. God raised Jesus from the dead, so forth and so on. And he said, thou shalt be saved. And we tell people that. And we then learn in verse 13 through 14 that a person can't believe unless they hear, and they can't call or confess the Lord, call on the Lord or confess the Lord, unless they believe. So you see a progression. There's hearing, of course, number one, the preaching. So God sends somebody to preach, and that's how people hear. And then hearing produces believing. In other words, that's what verse 17 says. So then faith cometh by hearing. All right? And then in order to hear, to believe, a man has to hear. And in order to confess a man's faith, a man has to believe what he hears. And that's how a man gets saved. Amen. Can you see that? So I wanted you to see those verses. We'll come back to those and say some more about them in a minute. But go now to Mark chapter number 11. Jesus made some statements about faith also in Mark chapter number 11. And write these verses down. You might have heard these verses, but to be real honest with you, so have I. I might have heard them longer than you have, but I go back over them regularly. Amen. I preach them and meditate on them, and I feed on them, and I study them, and I act on them. So we're going to look in Mark chapter number 11, and the context of this passage, I think most of you know it. It starts kind of in verse number 12, where Jesus came to a fig tree, and it didn't have any figs on it, and he cursed it. No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. And then verse number 15, he went into Jerusalem and taught and preached. And he came back out that night. And then the next morning he came by. And verse number 20 says, "In the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots." Jesus had cursed it, you know. So they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, said unto him, "Master, behold, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away." And notice verse number 22. We're going to read some of the most famous verses in the Bible on faith. Verse 22, Jesus answered and said unto them, I'm Jesus, I can do that. You mere mortals, don't you ever think you could do that? I'm the Son of God, and I can do this. But no one else can. That's not what he said. That's not what he said. He said in verse 22, have faith in God. Amen. Have faith in God. So he's talking to them, telling them to have faith in God. Now let's look at verse 23. For verily I say unto you, not just talking about himself, but he said, I say unto you, talking to us as believers, that whosoever, not just me, any believer, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Amen. He shall have whatsoever. Whosoever will say, and not doubt in his heart, but believe what he says shall come to pass, he'll have whatsoever he saith. All right? And then Jesus said in Mark 11, 24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Praise God. And so we see Jesus giving some very important words on faith again. And in this discussion or in this teaching on faith to his disciples, and of course it's written to all of us, he says the same thing that Romans said, and he mentions that faith, the God kind of faith, involves the heart and the mouth. Did you notice he said, verse number 22, have faith in God. Then verse 23, whosoever shall say, there's the mouth. Romans 10 mentioned the mouth. And then he said, shall not doubt in his heart. There's the heart. Romans 10 mentioned the heart. So Jesus is talking about this same law called the law of faith. Now I want you to look in Romans. If you brought your Bible there, it'd be good to look at these verses, because we're going to springboard off of some of these. And so let's look at Romans, if you brought it. And notice what he said here, something he said in chapter number 3. Romans chapter number 3 and verse number 27. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No, not the law of works, but by the law of faith. There is a law of faith, not a law like, don't murder anybody there in Nigeria, or don't murder anybody here. Not a law like that kind of law, but a law like the law of gravity. The law of gravity, you throw something up and it'll come down, because gravity pulls that down. Amen. So this is called, there are natural laws in nature. And then there are spiritual laws. There are laws of the spirit realm, the laws of God, the laws of the kingdom of God. There are principles. There are things that work for everybody. Now, you take the law of gravity. It doesn't matter how young you are, how old you are. It doesn't matter if you're tall or short. It doesn't matter what color your skin. It doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter how much money you don't have. It doesn't matter any of those things. The law of gravity works the same for everybody. Amen. That's why it's called a law. It's a universal principle that works for everybody. And faith is a spiritual law that works for anybody. It'll work in Nigeria like it'll work in the United States. It'll work in poor countries like it'll work in rich countries. It'll work anywhere a man will work it. Amen. And what is the law? Believe it. Believe what God said in your heart and say it with your mouth. And Jesus said, you'll have what you say. Hallelujah. Praise God. These are some of the most important words on faith you'll find in the whole Bible. They reveal that faith is a spiritual law. You don't have to feel like it's working for you. It'll work for you whether you feel like it's working or not. You don't have to feel like that if you throw a rock up into the air that it'll come back down to make that work. It'll work if you feel like it will work, and it'll work if you don't feel like it'll work. That's because it's a spiritual law. Amen. So then Jesus is giving this law of faith here again in Mark 11:23. And he said, believe it in your heart and say it with your mouth. And then he said in verse number 22, this is faith in God. Now, the margin of our Bibles, if you have a Bible like mine, you look over there in the margin and it'll say the faith of God, the God kind of faith, the faith which God gives. So this is telling us that this is how God's kind of faith works. Well, that's obvious that that's the truth. We know that because we know from the Bible that this is how God created the worlds in the beginning. God said, and it came to pass. He believed it in his heart. Isn't that right? And Jesus demonstrated that he had that kind of faith. He believed when he spoke to that fig tree, and he said what he believed, and what he believed and what he said came to pass. He cursed the fig tree and said, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forevermore. And the fig tree withered away, and within 24 hours you could see it. Peter said, it withered away. The fig tree you cursed is withered away from the roots, from the roots. And so it happened. It started immediately where you couldn't see it, but it started showing up just a short time, and it showed up in the natural realm. So the Bible says, have faith in God, which the margin actually says what the Greek says, or what Jesus actually said, was have the faith of God, the God kind of faith. Have the God kind of faith. Isn't that right? And Jesus didn't say it'll only work for God. He didn't say it'll only work for him. He didn't say, there in verse 23, I can do that because I'm the Son of God. Of course, he was the Son of God. We understand that. But he didn't say that's why it worked. He said, this faith will work for you. And so you need to say that out loud right now where you are. Repeat this after me. My faith will work for me. Say that out loud. My faith will work for me. See, Jesus said that if you or I do this, it'll work for us. Now, somebody said, well, I can't do that. I know I can't do that. Well, who said? Somebody's lying about it because Jesus said you can. Jesus said it would work for you. You're saying it doesn't, so we got to decide who we're going to believe here. I believe I'm going to go with Jesus. So Jesus is saying that basically your faith will work for you. Now, Jesus started out verse number 23, verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say. Now, whosoever includes you. It includes me. It includes people in Nigeria. It includes people in any country of the world, any place that somebody believes this. And so this faith, this God kind of faith, this is the way the God kind of faith works. This is the way the God kind of faith works. Amen. Now, when we see what Paul in the Epistle of Romans said, we see that he made that statement, the word of faith, Romans 10 verse 8, the word of faith which we preach. Now, Paul preached the gospel, which was the work of God in Christ, what God did through Jesus, through his death, burial, and resurrection, through him becoming our substitute, taking our place, us being born again, us being made new creatures through faith in him, and us being raised up together with Jesus, seated with Jesus in authority far above all the forces of darkness, and us having redemption and all the rights and blessings of redemption and all the acceptance we have in Christ and the ability to come boldly to the throne of grace and all those blessings. Paul preached all that, and that's called the gospel. What Jesus or God did in Jesus is called the gospel. But Paul said, there's something else I preach. Now, that something else is Romans chapter 10, verse number 8, the word of faith which we preach. Amen. So he preached the provisions of the gospel, but he also preached the word of faith. Or let's put it this way. Paul preached what God did in Christ, but he also preached man's duty. You understand what I'm talking about? He preached the appropriate response of man to what God did in Christ. You understand what I'm talking about? And so he preached the message of faith. No revelation. Pastor Ike made this statement one time. I'll give him credit this time. This will be the last time I give him credit for it. I'm kidding, but he's a great blessing. He made this statement one time. He said that no revelation is complete until it includes man's duty. In other words, man's proper response to what God did in Christ. we can preach what God did in Christ and man doesn't respond to that the way the Bible teaches him to respond, and there will be no manifestation of what God did in Christ in that man's life. Now, most Christians don't understand that, but that's exactly the way Jesus taught things. All through Jesus' earthly ministry, he made statements over and over again to people, especially people that came for healing. He made this statement. He said, "According to your faith, be it unto you. According as thou hast believed, so be it done unto you. Be it unto you according to your faith," and so forth and so on. He made that statement over and over and over and over again. And so what we see then is Jesus not only preached what he was coming to do on the cross, he preached man's response. He preached man's duty. You understand? So what we see is then that the gospel, the Bible working for us, what God did for us in Christ, to get that to work for us, there's a Godward side and there's a manward side. In other words, God has a part, but man has a part. Do you understand what I'm talking about? And to be honest with you, if you read in the book of Hebrews, the fourth chapter, the fifth verse, and I'm referring to the Amplified Version, Hebrews chapter number 4, verse number 5 in the Amplified Version, it says that if a man does not mix faith with what God said, he will forfeit his part in it. So think about that. If a man does not mix faith, if you read chapter 4, verses 1, 2, 3, and 4 before this verse 5, you'll see he's saying, if man doesn't mix faith in what God said, and of course, what God said is what he did for us in Christ. If man doesn't mix his faith with that, he forfeits his part in it. Now, that's interesting because, I mean, you've got sports games there, sports teams there in Nigeria like we have here in the United States, and if two teams are scheduled to meet on the playing field to compete in a tournament or in a playoff game or something, and one team fails to show up, that team is said to have forfeited the game. And the opposing team, the competing team, wins automatically. Now, so what he's saying is, when we don't show up on the field of faith, when the word is preached and we don't mix our faith with it, we don't show up to the field and play the game and contend in faith for what we're contending for, then we actually forfeit the very blessings that God has already provided. It's not that God hasn't provided them, that's just that we forfeit them. You understand? So we're preaching today as what Paul said he preached. He preached not only the gospel, but he preached man's duty. And our duty is to show up with faith to what the word says. Show up on the field and contend in faith for what the word says. And don't let the devil give us a no for the answer. Amen. That's man's duty. That's man's job. Faith is your and my job. That's what we're to show up with to the Word of God. We're to get on the field. We're to contend in faith for what God said is ours. Amen. There's a lot of people that think they're waiting on God for something, when in actuality, God is waiting on them to show up to what He already said in His Word with their faith. You understand that? And so He's told us what He's provided in His Word, and that's why He gave us His Word. I'm going to quote somebody. There's a minister back in the healing revival that happened here in the United States back in the 40s and 50s. His name was F.F. Bosworth. He has a great book out, the best book on divine healing that I think has ever been written based on the Word of God. But F.F. Bosworth made the statement, and that book, by the way, is called Christ the Healer. But F.F. Bosworth made this statement. He said, what God provides us or provided us, if what God has provided us were only promised gifts, we would have to wait for the promiser to fulfill his promises. The responsibility for their fulfillment would be on him. But all of his blessings are not promised gifts, but offered gifts, and therefore need to be accepted. The responsibility, now listen to this statement. If you get anything today, get this statement. The responsibility for their transfer is ours. This clears God of any responsibility for failure. Then he made this statement. He said, the only reason you were not saved a year earlier was because you did not take what God had provided and was offering to you. God was not making you wait. You were making him wait. Faith takes what God offers right now. Amen. I'm gonna say some of those things again. He said, what God offers is not a promise gift, but it is an offered gift. In other words, God's not promised to heal you, save you, deliver you, set you free. He has already done that, and he offered it to you. You can find past tense verses in the old, in the New Testament, all through the New Testament, of God having already done all those things. He's already saved us. He's already delivered us. He's already healed us. He's already provided for us. He's already raised us up. He's already given us authority. And you can go on and on. He's already blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. They're not promised gifts. They're offered gifts. In other words, they're free of charge. You don't have to earn it. You just receive it. It's a gift. But it's an offered gift, and it needs to be accepted. And since it's an offered gift and not a promised gift, we don't have to wait on the promiser to fulfill his promises. Did you get that? We just take the responsibility for their transfer to our lives. How do we do that? We do it by faith. We do it by faith. How do you make the transaction of what God's provided to you and receive it into your life? That's the law of faith that Jesus gave us in Mark 11:23 and 24, and that Paul said he preached in Romans chapter number 10. That's the principle of transferring what God has provided into your life and into your experience. How do you do it? By believing what God said and speaking it. You understand what we're talking about. Now, Lillian B. Yeoman, she has a book out. Actually, she had several books out. She was a medical doctor years ago, back in the early part of the last century, actually, and mid to early part, and she was a medical doctor and came down with she was going to physically die and believed on the word of God, and God raised her up and healed her, and then she committed the rest of her life to practicing divine healing and preaching divine healing, and she had a tremendous ministry, and she made this statement back there years ago: God has tied himself irrevocably to human cooperation in the execution of divine purpose. Now listen to that. He's tied himself to irrevocably to human cooperation in the execution of divine purpose. In other words, he doesn't do anything sovereignly out there by himself. He has tied himself to human cooperation in the execution of divine purpose. Then she went on, he has made man's faith a determining factor in the work of redemption. Amen. Hallelujah. God has made man's faith the determining factor in the working of redemption. In other words, somebody said, well, if God said that in his word, why don't I have it? Faith is the determining factor. It's faith that determines whether you experience that or not. That's what he said in Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 5. We will forfeit everything God did. We'll forfeit it all without mixing faith with it. We've got to learn the principle of faith. We've got to learn the law of faith. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. Now, let's go back here to Mark chapter number 11, and let's look at what Jesus said here in verse number, let's dig around here a little bit in verse number 22 especially. Mark 11:22, Jesus answered, said unto them, have faith in God. Have faith in God. So let's look at this faith that he said we're to have. Jesus demonstrated that he had it, and he showed us how it works. He said it works by believing and speaking, and we see him demonstrating that to the fig tree. And he said God had it. It's the God kind. And so the faith that God has dealt to us, let's go back to the 12th chapter of the book of Romans and look at something here. It comes right in line with what we've been saying. And Romans chapter number 12, look at verse number 3. Romans chapter 12, verse number 3. He said here, For I say through the grace given unto me, unto every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now, I want you to see that. It's very important you pay close attention. God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now, you read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse number 2, if you want to turn there and read that with me. I'm just wanting you to turn because it's important. We're going to say some things in a moment, but you have to understand why we say it. I want you to see this, 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3 and verse number 2. But the Lord is, verse number 2, excuse me, that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. All men have not faith. Well, why did it say then in Romans 12:3, God has dealt to every man the measure of faith, if all men have not faith? Now, how do we reconcile those two verses and not say that the Bible's contradicting itself? Well, it's very easily, you look at the whole verse. Like, for example, Paul said in Romans 12:3, I say through the grace of God given unto me to every man that is among you. Every man that is among you. Who's he talking to? You go back to the beginning of the book, he's writing Romans to those that believed in Rome. He's talking to believers. He's talking to the church. He's talking to people that are born again. And he says, God has dealt to them the measure of faith. God has dealt to them the measure of faith. Well, we've been born again, and we can claim that God has dealt to us the measure of faith. So then whenever it says over in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3, verse number 2, that all men have not faith, it's easy from the context to see that he's talking about wicked men, not believers, not Christians, not people that are born again, but wicked men. So wicked men have not been dealt the measure of the God kind of faith, but believers that believed on Jesus, that are born again, children of God, God, when they were born again, dealt to them the measure of the God kind of faith. Now, we need to understand this because a lot of Christians are praying for faith or promising God that if they'll do better, they'll maybe get this kind of faith. And so you don't have to pray for it or promise God to do better to get this kind of faith. You have been dealt this measure whenever you got born again. You were dealt the measure of the God kind of faith. It doesn't come by praying for it. You already have it. See, we got to get believers conscious of that. Because we're going to look here in a moment at some of the things faith will do. And to be able to do that, you have to have the God kind of faith. But a lot of Christians say, well, that's just it. I just don't have the God kind of faith. I mean, I don't really have any of that faith. I'm praying God will give me faith. Well, you can't pray to get it because the Bible said God's already dealt it. Somebody said, well, how did he deal it? We already read it back in Romans chapter 10, verse number 17. So then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. God dealt to the sinner the faith to be saved whenever they heard the gospel preached. They heard the word preached, then that faith came to them. They believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, confessed him with their mouth, and they were saved. And whenever they did that, the measure of the God kind of faith, amongst other things, came into them. And they now have the God kind of faith. What does that mean, the God kind of faith? Well, it means there are other kinds. That means there are other kinds. But to stay with this for a minute about God dealing to us the measure of the God kind of faith, if you understand exactly what happened when you got born again, see, remember, whenever you got born again, all the fruit of the Spirit came, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. That was one thing you got whenever you got born again. You don't have to pray for it. God dealt it to you. Now, the King James says God has dealt to every man. You look up that word in the Greek, and it means to divide into parts and to share allotments. In other words, you're a shareholder in the God kind of faith. Amen. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you what, this is the great equalizer. What I mean by that is this makes God an equal opportunity God. You realize that every person regardless of their background, their education, their opportunity, the nation they live in, the race, the color of their skin, whatever differentiates one person from another, none of those things gives anybody an advantage, because God has dealt to every one of His children the measure of the God kind of faith. He gave you the exact same thing He gave every other believer whenever you got born again. You got the same faith they got. And I'm going to show you a verse in a moment that says that even the great apostle Peter said that I didn't get faith any more than you got faith. We got faith in common. In fact, I'll just go, if you want to turn to it right now, let me just look at it. Go to 1 Peter, I believe it is. 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 1. Simon Peter, 2 Peter 1, verse number 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. See, some people stop right, they don't hear this verse. They just read about the apostles doing great signs and wonders, and they say, well, yeah, but that was the apostles. Well, notice Peter said he was an apostle. But he said, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them, he's writing to the church, he's writing to them that have obtained like precious faith. Hallelujah. In other words, with us, through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So he said, whenever they were born again and became the righteousness of God in Christ, God dealt to them the same like precious faith. Like precious faith. Not something special because he's an apostle. Like precious faith. God gave Peter the same faith he gave them. God gave them the same faith he gave Peter. They obtained like precious faith. Knox translation says, who share with us, Peter said to them, you share with us the common privilege of faith. Listen to the Weymouth translation. Who have been allotted a faith of equal privilege with ours. Oh, glory to God. If that doesn't light your fire, your wood's wet. He gave every believer an equal privilege by dealing to them the same measure of faith. One person didn't get a greater allotment than another one. He didn't say in Romans 12:3, he's dealt to every man a measure of faith. He said every man the measure of faith. The measure. In other words, every man got the same measure. Now the question is, what has man done with it? Some have done more with it than others have done with it. But the truth is, God gave us all the same faith to get started with. It's just some have done more with it than others. You see, we've got to get people conscious that they have this divine faith, the God kind of faith, the same faith that God used to create the worlds, the same faith Jesus used to curse the fig tree. That we have the same kind of faith. Not only did Peter get the same allotment and the same privilege by this common faith, that whenever he said, like precious faith, not only is your faith like mine and my faith like yours, or our faith just like the faith of the greatest faith man that ever lived on the planet, not only is our faith common that we got between ourselves, but our faith is like God's. It's like precious. It's equally as valuable as God's. Are you hearing me? Because the Bible said, have the faith of God. When we were dealt by hearing the Word of God, the measure of the God kind of faith, we got God's faith. This is not a lesser version than God's. It is like precious faith. Say it out loud. Like precious faith. Amen. So we got that like precious faith. Now I want to read something to you. I wrote down here. The Lord gave me some things about this. Some people, they don't understand that. But when it says like precious, that means my faith is like yours. Yours is like mine. No, nobody got a greater measure or anything. And the kind I got is like yours. And that also means that we both got it from the same source. It's like. It's the same source. In fact, the kind we both got when we received the measure of the God kind of faith is like God's faith. How does God's faith work? He believes and speaks. Jesus demonstrated that, and we do it the same way. And the faith which He gives, margin of Mark 11, 22 says, the faith which he gives, if he's the one that gave it, it has to be the same kind as his. If not, it's not his that we got, but another kind that we got. You see, God has dealt. See, remember Romans? Romans, it says, Romans 12, 3, God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. So if he's the one that dealt it, then he's the source of it. And we got it from his, from him. And if we, the faith we got when we got born again is not like his, then we didn't get his. We got some other kind. It's not his. But no, the Bible said God dealt it, and it's his. It's his faith. Amen. We're told to have the faith of God, aren't we? If we can't have the faith of God, if let's put it this way, if we don't have the faith of God, then we can't have the faith of God. In other words, if God didn't deal us his faith, the measure of his faith, then we can't have the God kind of faith. Isn't that right? And so we have to have, if we don't have God's kind, then the kind we have is going to have to be some other kind. You know, the Bible talks about Thomas's faith over in the 20th chapter. Go over there in the book of John, John's Gospel, the 20th chapter. Thomas, you remember, didn't see Jesus. Jesus didn't appear to him when he wasn't there whenever Jesus appeared to some of the other apostles after his resurrection. And they told him later, we've seen the Lord. Remember what Thomas said? Thomas made this statement. Listen to this. And he said, except I see, this is John chapter number 20, verse number 25. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we've seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Now I want you to notice, Thomas said, unless I see and feel, I won't believe. After 8 days, verse number 26 says, after 8 days, this is John 20, verse 26, after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them, and then came Jesus, and the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. And he said unto Thomas, now listen to this, this is very interesting. Jesus wasn't there in the flesh when Thomas said what he said about, I won't believe unless I see and feel. But he heard him anyhow. You have to understand, your words are heard whether you're praying or whether you're not. He heard him and he said, here's what Jesus responded to him in verse 22, said, or 27, and said to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side. He quoted him exactly. You know the Lord hears you even when you're not praying. You know, people get into all kinds of positions and try to get on high mountains and stuff and try to get God to hear them. He hears you when you're just walking around talking to people. So you don't need to just have faith when you're praying. You need to have faith all day long, talking faith all day long. So Thomas wasn't there. I mean, Jesus wasn't there in the flesh. He's there in the spirit, of course. But he wasn't there in the flesh. And he heard what Thomas said, and he quoted him verbatim. And he said, go ahead and put your finger in my hand, and go ahead and thrust your hand into my side. And then he said this, and be not faithless, but believing. Now notice, Thomas wasn't a believer that Jesus rose from the dead. And the reason was is because he didn't see it or he couldn't feel it. But he had heard it. Faith comes by hearing. Isn't that right? And he said, no, I will not believe unless I feel or I see. Jesus said, Thomas, you're faithless. Thomas, you're faithless. Be not faithless, but believing. And so when he said you're faithless, he's saying you don't have the God kind of faith. The God kind of faith doesn't have to see or feel to believe. You know, people pray and they say, well, I just don't feel like God heard me. Well, faith isn't a feeling. Faith is not feeling like God heard you. Faith takes God's word. Remember what 1 John 5, 14 and 15 says? And I'll just refer to that right now. I mean, maybe later we'll get to that and spend more time in it. But you remember 1 John 5, 14 and 15. This is the confidence that we have in Him. That if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. This is the confidence we have in Him. We ask anything according to His will, He hears us. He hears us. That's a statement of fact. If you ask according to His will, He hears you. Now, He can hear you and you not believe it, but He hears you anyhow. If you ask according, somebody said, how do I know He hears me? If you ask according to His will, well, that's just it. I don't know His will. Well, the Bible is His will. You ask in line with the Bible. The Bible said He hears you. That's automatic. Whether you believe that or not, that's automatic. He said, if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Then He said this, and if we know that He hears, or if we believe that He hears us whenever we pray, we know that we have. We know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Notice that. We know we have them now because we know He heard us. Well, how do we know He heard us? Because we ask according to His will. Isn't that right? And so people just need to just believe what God said, not believe that He heard them because they feel like He heard them, because He'll hear you when you don't even feel like it. Thomas didn't realize Jesus heard him saying this whenever he wasn't even there, but he heard him anyway. He quoted him verbatim. And notice he said, you've got to feel and see and until you believe, and that makes you faithless. Well, he's talking about when it comes to the God kind of faith. You don't have the God kind of faith. The God kind of faith hears and believes and then acts. Now, notice what it says in verse number 28. Thomas answered and said unto him, in other words, he sees him now. He can put his hand in the nail print, thrust his hand into the side and so forth. And he says, my Lord and my God. In other words, I see you. I believe you rose from the dead. You're my Lord and you're my God. Now notice Jesus' response to him in verse 29. He said, Thomas, because thou hast seen me. Notice, seen me. Because thou hast seen me, notice, thou hast believed. In other words, you've believed that I rose from the dead because you see me. Now, blessed are they that have not seen and yet believed. Amen. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believed. Now, what is he saying here? Those that see and then believe are faithless. They're faithless when it comes to the God kind of faith. They do have another kind of faith because Jesus said, in verse number 27, he said, because you didn't see me, you were faithless. But there is another kind of faith. When Thomas saw, he said, you have believed because you have seen. Verse number 29, because you have seen me, thou hast believed. Because you've seen. Now here he is believing, but only because he saw. So somebody said, well, was Thomas faithless or was he believing because he saw? Well, he didn't have the God kind of faith, and therefore God considered that no faith at all. People that have to see to believe, God considers that no faith at all. And that runs true with all the way through in every area of believing the Word of God. God can hear you when you pray and you not know it and not believe it, and therefore you are faithless. Amen. We've got to become weaned off of our feelings, weaned off of sight, weaned off of everything that in the natural that proves to us that God's Word is true, and just take God's Word for it and believe it without seeing, believe it without feeling. Hallelujah. And so this is the God kind of faith we're talking about. Hallelujah. All right. Now back up here to 2 Peter 1:1. Let's go back there. We see it several verses. I can take you to 5 different verses in the New Testament that says God has dealt to us the measure of faith at the new birth. One of them is what we read in Romans 12:3, and then another one's here, 2 Peter 1:1. He said, you have obtained, talking to all believers, they have obtained like precious faith with the apostles. Praise the Lord. And so we see that we have this faith now. Now, let's go to another verse that shows us that we have this kind of faith, because Ephesians 2:8 says, in Ephesians 2:8, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Now, somebody said, well, he's talking about grace and salvation are the gift of God. Well, absolutely. We understand it's a gift of God. But also, this measure of faith is the gift of God. Amen. You might say, well, that's not talking about faith is the gift of God. It's just talking about grace and salvation, or grace and salvation are the gift of God. Yeah, but look at 1 Timothy 1:14. 1:14 of 1 Timothy. He talks about salvation, and I want you to notice it. We're just taking some time because we've got to get people conscious of the fact that they have this measure of faith. There's a lot of believers that although they have it, are not conscious of it, and so they're not doing anything with it, and it's not working for them. See, God has ordained that this is the way we live. The just shall live by faith. Amen? So if we're going to live by it, we've got to learn how to do this. Now, look what it says here in 1 Timothy 1:14. Paul's talking. He said, "The grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus." Now, he's talking about the grace that brought us salvation. He said it's exceeding abundant with faith and love. Now, the Amplified says this grace that brought us this salvation, he said, is accompanied by faith and love. Accompanied. So when you got saved, that salvation was accompanied with something. Something came with that. Something got from God was dealt to you in this area of faith. And he said one of them was faith and another one was love. So he said that we have been given this measure of the God kind of faith. Can you see that? So that's Romans 12:3. Ephesians 2:8 says the same thing. And then Romans 10:17 says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Now let's go to another verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 13. I want you to become conscious of the fact, because if we don't nail this point down real clear, people are going to continue to believe they don't have faith, or they don't have enough faith. We're going to address that in a moment. Or that they've got to pray for faith, or somehow or another do something else to get this faith that other people seem to have. And the fact is, they've got it all along. So 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, look with me, if you got your Bible, to verse number 13. 2 Corinthians 4, verse number 13. Paul's speaking, talking to believers. You and I are believers. It says in verse 13, "We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak." Now, I want you to notice, once again, he brings up the heart and the mouth again. Can you see that? We believe, that's believing in the heart, and we speak, that's the mouth. So he said, we have this same spirit of faith. We're not trying to get it. We're not gonna have it. We're not praying to have it. We need to believe what the Bible says. We have it. Say it out loud. I have the measure of the God kind of faith. Praise be to God. Amen. So God has made you a shareholder in His faith. Now, you can be given something and not do anything with it. You realize that I could hand two people in Nigeria $1 million each, and one of them spend it all, waste it on riotous living, and lose it all, and within a month's time, it's all gone, and they don't have it anymore. And they live as a poor man for the rest of their lives. And another man take that $1 million and do the right things with it, grow it, invest it, use it, put it to work for him, and by the end of his life, have $25 million or $100 million because he did the right thing with it. And so that's what we as believers are like. We're like people that God gave $1 million. Some people do something with it, some people don't. It's not God's fault that some people don't do anything with their faith. I'll be honest with you. A lot of times it's preachers' fault. And I'll tell you why. It's because a lot of preachers are preaching in such a way down at their people and kind of make them think like they don't have any faith. They're being taught wrong. Amen. Believers, they all have the measure of the God kind of faith, but they're not taught that they do, so they don't realize it, they don't recognize it, and they're not doing anything with it. Amen? And so a lot of times the reason people aren't doing anything with it is because the way people preach to them. People preach the wrong way. They preach to believers like they don't have any. And so what they're hearing, what most believers are hearing, makes them believe wrong, because faith comes by hearing. And so they're believing wrong, and a lot of times they're believing that they don't have any of this God kind of faith, or they're not aware of it because of what they're hearing. They're hearing wrong. And a lot of Christians go around thinking they don't have it. And they really say they don't have it, and they're taking sides against God's Word whenever God's Word says they do have it. Amen? Amen. And so because their thinking is wrong, because they're being taught wrong, really what's happening is they're not conscious of what they actually do have. You have the measure of the God kind of faith. You understand what that means? And so God is saying you have it. They're saying they don't. Now, somebody's not telling the truth about it. Somebody's not telling the truth about it. We've got to start deciding who we're going to believe here. I'm going to believe the Bible. I'm going to believe God. How many of you know you can't get God to work for you while you're taking sides against Him? When He says you got something and you say, no, I know I don't. I know you lied on me. You said, I have it and I know I don't. I see other people having this kind of faith, but I don't have that kind of faith. Well, see, you're lying about it. God said you do. And so how are you going to get God to work for you lying against what He said to you? No, you're not going to be able to do that. And I'll tell you why a lot of Christians feel like they don't have the God kind of faith, or they don't have enough of the God kind of faith. A lot of times it's because they're more body ruled and living in the flesh and living in the realm of feelings than they are in the realm of their spirit, in the realm of God, in the realm of the truth of God's word. The feelings are of the body. And let me just tell you something. Your feelings never will tell you you have any faith. The devil will never tell you you have any faith. In fact, the devil or your feelings will never say you have enough faith. Even if somebody says, well, now I know I have it now, but the problem with me is I just don't have enough. I just don't have enough. Well, that's because your feelings and the devil will never tell you you have enough. If I did a survey right now and I said to everybody watching this live stream, how many of you have great faith? You've got enough faith. A lot of people would just sit there and look at me. They wouldn't raise their hand because the devil and their feelings never will tell them they have enough faith. People say, well, you know, great faith like it takes to walk on water or something like that. I don't have that kind of faith. Well, let's go back there and look at that passage. Let's go back there and look at that passage. Look at Matthew chapter number 14. Let's see if we can learn anything about this faith that walked on water. Somebody said, well, I just don't have that kind of faith. Well, look at Matthew chapter number 14. Jesus is walking on the water. Peter said, if it's you bid me to come, come to me on the water. And when Peter was, because this is verse number 29, Matthew chapter 14, verse 29. And he said to him, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Now look at that. O thou of little faith. O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Now somebody said, that's me right there. I've got little faith. I guess maybe the Bible does say I have faith. I heard Pastor Jay preaching the word and said I have faith. But my problem is my faith just little. It's not enough. I need more faith. If I'm going to do great things like he did here and walked on water, I'm going to have great faith. Well, notice back up there to verse number 29, when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Huh? See, he did walk on water, didn't he? We always get our eyes on verse number 30. When he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. We always get our eyes on verse 30, and we say, that's me. I just don't have great faith. And so, you know, I can't do what great things like walking on water and so forth and so on. Well, let me ask you the question. Did Peter have great faith? Jesus said he didn't. Can you take Jesus' word for it? He had little faith. He just had little faith. But yet, here's what he did with it. He walked on water with little faith. Amen. Let's see you walk on water. Amen. Without faith, you won't be able to do it. And apparently, from what Jesus said, Peter didn't even have great faith, yet he walked on water. Isn't that right? But see, people say, well, that's the problem. Mine just isn't big enough to do big things. Well, how big do you think your faith needs to be? You know, that's something that we've never answered the question on. How much faith do you think you need to do great things like walking on water? Huh? No. See, we've got to define this word. Notice what Jesus said to him, O thou of little faith. We get the idea that when Jesus said that he was talking about his faith was puny, his faith was small, his faith wasn't big enough or robust enough to walk on water. But Jesus said, O thou of little faith. So we've got to understand what this means, because even with a little bit of faith, he walked on water. Now, he sank. We understand that. But let's see if we can learn a little bit something from this. Little faith doesn't mean small or puny like we think of it. You look up the word little, and it means for a season, short, for a while, or briefly. And I remember whenever Jesus met Zacchaeus, the Bible said that Zacchaeus was of little stature. You know what that means? He's a short little guy. That's what the same Greek word translated little over there, whenever it says Zacchaeus was of little stature, as what Jesus said Peter's faith was when he said, O thou of little faith. Same exact Greek word. So whenever it says that Zacchaeus was of little stature, we could say he was of short stature, couldn't we? And that's exactly what that word means. It means short, for a season, for a while, briefly. So Zacchaeus was of little stature. He's a short little guy. And so when Jesus said, your faith was little, O thou of little faith, he says your faith was short. He didn't say it wasn't enough, because we see it was. He used what he had to walk on water. He did walk on water. But what was the problem? He didn't keep going with it. It was short. He did it, but only for a season. You see, his faith was big enough. It just didn't endure. It didn't persevere. It didn't continue. See, that's the problem so many times. It's not that people don't have enough faith. It's that they don't continue. Remember, for example, Jesus said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed. Now, that's very small. That's why Jesus used that seed. It's a very small seed. If you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you would say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. Many Christians, without even realizing it, they kind of have it in their mind that Jesus said, if you had faith as a mountain, you'd say to this mustard seed, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. But that's not what Jesus said. He didn't say, if you had a great big mountain of faith, you could move this little mustard seed. He said, if you had just a little bit of faith and used it, you'd be able to move a mountain. You'd be able to move a mountain. Amen? The issue is not how much you've got. The issue is using what you've got. You see, the faith you have is not from you as a source. It's from God as a source, and it's divine, and it's full of power. And if you'll start using it, Jesus said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you'd say. So if you start using it or start saying it, it'll start working for you. Yes, we know from the Bible faith can grow. We're going to look at that. In fact, let's just look at it right now. If you want to go over to the book of, let's see here, I think it's 2 Thessalonians. Let me make sure I didn't write it down here right in front of me. But if you want to turn with me, I want you to see something here. Faith can grow, and there are advantages to faith growing. But look what he says here. And verse number 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse number 3, we're bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity, that means the love of every one of you all toward each other, aboundeth. So yes, faith can grow. In other words, you can take the measure that God gave you and grow it. But see, what we've got to understand is that even the faith you have right now will do some powerful things. To do some powerful thing. The issue is not whether it's powerful or not to do what you need it to do. The issue is whether you use it or not. The issue is whether you stick with it or not. And I'll tell you, to be real honest with you, if you'll start using it, you keep on feeding it on God's Word, and you keep on using it, it will grow, and it will enable you to endure longer. But yet, right on the other hand, it takes more than just feeding it. You have to use it and keep on saying it and keep on speaking the Word of God, and so that faith can grow and develop. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you getting anything out of the Word this morning? Now, so God has given us this faith. It's of equal, he said, it's like precious faith. Remember that verse? 2 Peter 1:1. It's like precious faith. God has given us, we have obtained this like precious faith. And so what does that mean, like precious? It's just like Jesus' faith. It's just like God's faith. If it came from God, it's just like His. And it's like precious. In other words, it's of equal value. It's of equal price. And it is able to do in your mouth what it will do in God's mouth. You need to understand that. It's equally honored by God. Amen. As his own faith is honored. It really is his own faith. Amen. And so it's of equal rank in the kingdom of God. It's also, it has equal ability. It has equal ability to obtain the reward and get what God said in your life. Amen. It's just as valuable as God's himself, because it is valuable, and it's honored in your mouth just as much as in God's. I don't know if that blesses you or not, but see, these kinds of things takes so many things out of the realm of impossibility and brings them over into the realm of possibility, because this came from God. It's supernatural. It's not human in its source. If it was human in its source, it could do human things only. But it's divine in its source. Therefore, it enables you to operate as God in the realm of the impossible. Amen. And that's what you need to understand about this measure, the God kind of faith. God's the one that dealt it, so it's supernatural. Hallelujah. And it'll be honored in your mouth just as much as it'll be honored in God's mouth. And you can please God in your expression of it just as much as anybody else can please God in their expression of it. Amen. Now, here's what I want you to understand this morning. If you understood the faith that you have and the quality of it and what it'll do, it would cut out 85% of your requests that other people pray for you. Do you understand? They would realize if people knew that the faith they have is the God kind, and they realized that God would honor that faith just as much as his own or just as much as mine if I prayed and used my faith. If they realized they got the same faith I've got and he'll hear them just as quickly, it'd cut out most of their requests somebody else pray for them. Because that's a problem we've got in the body of Christ. Pray for me. Pray for me, some great, great man of God, some great minister, and you understand, they're called of God, they can pray. But see, remember Peter? He said, 2 Peter 1:1, he said, you didn't get any lesser kind of faith than us, the apostles. Isn't that what he said? We've obtained like precious faith. Hallelujah. I can tell some of you there's something starting to stir down on the inside of some of your bellies right now. And you're starting to realize the truth rather than religion, rather than man's ways of doing things, the mode that Christians operate in so many times. Amen. Hallelujah. So we need to believe this. The thing that I want you to see here is that this faith, this God kind of faith, has been dealt to you. It's not something you're going to get. It's something you already got. It's been distributed. God took shares of his faith and distributed it to the body of Christ. I don't know how familiar you are in your country with investing. I'm sure you have a stock market and you can invest. I know here in the United States, a company will go what they call go public, and that just simply means other people can invest their money into it if they believe that company is going to prosper and thrive and so forth and so on. Like, for example, back whenever the company that makes all the computers, Apple Computers, when they went public years ago, if you put $1,000 in back then, you'd be worth millions of dollars today. If you just bought a share of their stock, you would be worth millions, multiple millions of dollars today, because you are a shareholder. You share a portion of the ownership of that company. Well, God has dealt out shares of his faith. Amen? In fact, I'll be honest with you, he's dealt out so much of his faith that we hold the majority of it when it comes to this earth. And God has said what we say will come to pass, not what he says. Do you know if I owned enough of the shares of a company on the United States Stock Exchange, if I owned 51% of their shares, then I could have the say of all the decisions that they make, because I am a majority shareholder. God has dealt out so much of his faith in the earth. Now, I'm not talking about heaven, but in the earth. He's dealt out so much of his faith in the earth that the body of Christ is a majority shareholder, and that's why Jesus said, you'll have what you say, not what I say. God's will is that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But that's not automatic. That's only if believers on the earth will take the faith he has dealt to them and use it and say, this is the way it's going to be. Believe in their heart and say it with their mouth. Amen. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, this faith God's dealt to us is an amazing thing. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. So say it out loud, everybody that's listening to me, right where you are, whether you're in one of the watch centers or whether you're, watching on live stream, just say it right out loud right now. You need to hear yourself say it. Say, I am a child of God. I've been born of God. I've been born again. God is my Father. I have the measure of the God kind of faith. The faith that God used to create the worlds in the beginning. Hallelujah. I'm a believer, not a doubter. I have the measure of the God kind of faith. Hallelujah. I have the mountain moving kind of faith. If I believe and I say, it will come to pass. I'm a believer, not a doubter. Hallelujah. My faith is from God. I have the God kind of faith. Hallelujah. And the God kind of faith in my heart and mouth will do equal things as in God's mouth. Hallelujah. I'm a believer. I have the God kind of faith. Praise God. Right there where you are, just give God some praise. Because we're preaching the Bible. This is the truth. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. I mean, just a little bit of it. If you use it, it'll do some explosive things. Praise be to God. Now, I'm going to just go just a little bit further here before we wrap this up. There's some things we need to understand that the value of this kind of faith and why it's so valuable. If you read the Bible, the Bible says that God has ordained that this is the way we live as our lifestyle. The Bible said the just shall live by faith. The Bible said without faith it's impossible to please God. That's Hebrews 11:6. And so when we see what the Bible says about faith, we see some amazing things it says we can do. And I just want to list a few of them before we end here today. And not one thing it says we can do is we can do the impossible. You see people all through the Bible through faith doing the impossible. Another thing we can do is obtain promises. Lay hold of them, in other words. Another thing we can do is overcome the enemy. You know, the Bible said in 1 John 5:4, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So we can overcome the world and overcome the God of this world at the same time. Another thing we can do is live through impossible situations. You see David doing that, Daniel doing that. You see the three Hebrew children doing that. You see many people in the Bible doing that. Another thing you can do is start things and stop things. You can see that in the Bible. You can see that in the Bible, a person of faith can cause things to come and cause things to leave. Jesus said that in Luke 7. The man who he was getting ready to go to his house to heal a servant, the man said, no, I'm a man. I understand faith. You just say the word and it'll happen. He said, for I'm a man under authority, and I say to this man, come, and he comes, to that man, go, and he goes. And Jesus said, I haven't found faith like that in all of Israel. And so faith can cause things to go, cause things to come. And so also faith can cause things. Excuse me, faith, the Bible said in Hebrews 11, verse number 1 through 3, can frame your world, can frame your world. A lot of people say, I don't know why my world is the way it is, my life is the way it is. Well, you framed it with your own faith. You took the Word of God or the lack of taking God's Word and framed that. Another thing the Bible says you can do is you can obtain God's approval. It says without faith it's impossible to please God. Another thing you can do is obey when you don't understand. Faith enables you to do that. A lot of Christians can't obey God because they don't understand. Their mind hasn't been able to understand what he's saying and why he would say do that. But see, faith enables you to obey whenever you don't understand. Another thing that faith enables you to do, it enables you to, we see about Sarah, she conceived a child because of her faith. Another thing faith enables you to do, it enables you to embrace the future with excitement because God told you what the future is. Amen. Another thing you can do is you can worship God for the unseen and unfulfilled. A lot of Christians, because they don't walk by faith, they can't worship God for something they can't see. Another thing that it'll enable you to do is speak of the future with as much certainty as the past. You know, if God said something that's going to be a certain way, you can speak with that as much confidence as if something already happened. Another thing it'll enable you to do is throw away labels and titles that the world puts on you. We see blind Bartimaeus doing that. He was blind man, had this cloak that identified him as a blind man, but whenever Jesus said, tell him to come, he threw that away. His faith caused him to throw off that label. Moses did that whenever he was come of age. The Bible said he was raised in an Egyptian home, but he was actually Hebrew. And whenever he found out who he really was, he said he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He refused some labels. You can refuse some labels people tried to put on your life. They might have said you're a slow learner. They might have said you're poor. They might have said whatever they've said about you. But you can take God's word and throw those labels off if you got faith. Praise be to God. I'm going to shout just here in a little bit. You can do the impossible. Another thing you can do is you can speak a thing and it'll be fulfilled. Jesus said that in Mark 11:23, didn't he? You can speak a thing and it be fulfilled. Another thing you can do is you can exercise the authority of God's throne. Hallelujah. And that's why we've been raised up together and seated together with Jesus in heavenly places. So we can take the authority on that throne, put one hand on the throne and another hand raised over the situation that arises in our life, and we say what it's going to be. Peace, be still. That's what you're going to be. You're going to be still. You can do that. You can exercise the authority of God's throne. You can also operate in the supernatural. We see that all through the Bible. You can manifest the power of God. We see that all through the Bible. Then also you can remain constant under pressure. Whenever there's pressure to quit, you can remain constant through faith. Then also you can be unmoved by Satan's bluff. He can tell you all kinds of lies and so forth, and you say, no, I'm standing because I believe the Word of God. I don't believe all that. You can be unmoved by Satan's bluff. Then you can also receive right in the midst of opposition. Remember, the Bible said he prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. You can occupy your rights and privileges in Christ. I'm going fast, I know, but I'm just, you can go through these later and write them down if you can't catch them all right now. You can occupy your rights and privileges in Christ. See, your right and your privilege is to command a thing and it comes to pass. You can operate in that privilege through that you have in Christ. Another thing you can do is you can war a good warfare. The Bible said, fight the good fight of faith. Isn't that right? 1 Timothy 1:18 and 19 says that. Then you can rest in the middle of trouble. Jesus did that because of his faith in the boat that was going across the water. They said, don't you care that we perish? He's back there sleeping in the middle of a storm. He's resting. Oh, man, that blesses me. In the midst of trouble. You can move obstacles. You think about what Mark 11:23 says. Jesus said, you say to this mountain, you be removed and cast into the sea. And he said, it'll obey you. You can get things out, obstacles out of your way. I've done that many times, and sometimes it was people. Amen? Motivated by the devil. Well, we weren't wrestling against flesh and blood, but the devil motivating people. You can remove obstacles. Another thing you can do is you can give substance to your desires. The Bible said in Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith can give substance to what you desire. That's also Mark 11:24. What things soever you desire when you pray, believe you receive them and you'll have them. So it'll give that desire substance. In other words, it'll come to pass. Another thing you can do, according to the book of Isaiah, you can declare the end from the beginning. Hallelujah. You can say, listen, whenever this is all over, this is how it's going to be. I'm going to be standing with the victory. I'm going to be standing with what God said is mine because I am a man of faith. And I declare the end from the beginning. And so much more. You can do so much more. But I just wanted to go over a few of those things before we close here today. Praise be to God. Did you get anything out of the Word today? I'm telling you what, we'll go into this some more tomorrow. And springboard off of this into some other things. But we need to be conscious that we have this measure of the God kind of faith and not let the devil tell us we don't rob us of our privileges.